Welcome into Hour 2 of Wildcat Insider. John Kurtz joined by the voice of the Cats, Wyatt Thompson. We will talk K-State hoops, a tough one for the Wildcats last week, not only on Saturday, but they lose at Iowa State as well, and forces a very difficult game upon the Wildcats this Wednesday against TCU before hitting the road to take on Baylor this weekend. At 5:40, we will get you a bracketology update as well, where things stand as far as the Cats' NCAA tournament prospects are concerned here at the moment, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the injuries that are mounting for this men's basketball team, how much that is affecting things as well. That is something Bruce Weber talked about after the game. You can shoot your questions or comments to us on Twitter at TheGameKMAN if you've got those. I mentioned this in the first hour of the show, but National Signing Day is coming up on Wednesday. I will throw out another reminder that if you want to hear our Signing Day show, because of the K-State men's game tipping at 6:30, everything's getting bumped up, so the afternoon on K-Man will start at 3 o'clock with the PowerCat Game Day recruiting special. Go till 4:30. We'll have an hour of PowerCat Game Day and then pregame coverage from the K-State Sports Network at 5:30 before the tip-off at 6:30 with K-State and TCU, and the K-State women play at the same time as well. So there's going to be a lot going on, but make sure you're tuned in at 3 o'clock for the recruiting show. Part of what you'll hear there is what we're about to play for you right now, and that is Jeremy Crabtree from ESPN.com. He is a senior writer for ESPN.com, has been covering recruiting there for a long time and does a really, really nice job, and definitely has some insight here on the 2017 K-State signing class and what is to come in the next 48 hours or so before all the ink dries on the paper, so to speak, for this 2017 class. And it's not one, Jeremy, that is going to light up a lot of the recruiting rankings. K-State is last in the Big 12 if you look at, for instance, the Rivals recruiting rankings right now, but as far as that is concerned, seems like it is a fairly standard Bill Snyder recruiting class.
No, I mean, I think it's a kind of a typical Bill Snyder-type class. I mean, he'll tell you this on Wednesday that he doesn't care what they're ranked, how many stars they've got attached to their name. He'll judge them 4 or 5 years down the road. But I think if you're looking from kind of a needs standpoint, I think K-State did a nice job. I mean, they knew they needed to get bodies on both the offensive and defensive lines, and that they did hit some home runs there. I think that you can look for guys like maybe Anthony Payne from over in Kansas City from Ray Peck to be an immediate impact type guy. Wyatt Hubert from Shawnee Heights, another immediate impact guy. And then the collection of five offensive linemen that they've got coming in this class. I just really like how they focused on that and knew they needed to hit some home runs there, and certainly have done a nice job there. And we'll see what happens here in this run-up here. If they can solve some of their last-minute questions at safety. They didn't get Evan Fields earlier today, the kid from Oklahoma. They're still heavily involved with Elijah Walker, a former commitment, the number one junior college safety prospect. I would think he's probably leaning back toward K-State now over Texas Tech and TCU. It would be a huge get if they can get him.
Oh, very interesting there. The secondary was where I wanted to go next, because it does seem like K-State is brought in quite a bit there. Antonio Oliver, Isaiah Stewart both commit over the weekend as well. What do you think of the job K-State did addressing just the secondary overall?
Well, I mean, it was priority number one, number two, number three left on the board here, especially after they did a very nice job of getting the kids that they needed to get up front on the line spot here. Certainly no question. And you know, Oliver's a mid to high three-star type kid from a very good high school in Georgia, Grovetown High School. I think you look at that and you have to be excited about landing, going into Georgia again and getting a quality kid like that. Isaiah Stewart, I think, is a very underrated prospect in many, many senses, was committed to NAB, added through much of the recruiting process, and is at a very good high school, just DeSoto High School in Texas, and up the south side of Dallas. Just year in, year out, produces great football players, and for some reason, Isaiah was a little bit under the radar, so to speak, and I'm surprised more schools, more Power 5 schools, didn't try to jump in on him. So I think K-State got a heck of a steal there. And, you know, if they could add Walker back to the mix, I think they'll be very pleased with how things turned out.
Talking with Jeremy Crabtree about K-State's 2017 recruiting class, one guy I know there was some question about whether or not he was waffling a little bit with Baylor in the picture is Jamastian Taylor, a wide receiver out of Texas. What would he add, assuming that he does wind up here?
Well, I mean, you got to take a kid at his word. He says that he is 110% solid, but then called Baylor a dream school. Talked to him last night. He said he is he's still good to go K-State, retweeting a lot of K-State commits and interacting with them on social media. So you have to be excited by that. Now, Sebastian's an interesting kid, very under-recruited. recruited. To be honest, K-State did a very nice job of kind of identifying him early on. Our scouts absolutely loved him. They loved his size at 6'4", 212. They think he can be an immediate type, red zone effective type player. Throw the ball up to him, maybe a compliment with Burton moving on to that from to graduation. He's not going to be a guy that's going to have the most polish on his route running, or maybe isn't going to be the fastest guy in the world, but the kid just makes a tremendous plays. And, you know, also interestingly, he runs out of the Wildcat a lot out of his high school at Giddings High. So maybe it would be interesting to see what a 6'4" receiver back at the quarterback spot in the Wildcat might look like, because certainly they have talked to him a little bit about that later on down the road.
Do you feel like, you know, you mentioned a couple of the defensive ends, obviously Wyatt Hubert out of Shawnee Heights around here in the Topeka area, and then Anthony Payne, but Xavier Davis, junior college defensive end, do you feel like he is the type of guy that could have an immediate impact?
Yeah, you know what, they're telling all three of those guys that they need to be, the expectation is for them to come in and play pretty quickly, and you would expect a JUCO kid maybe to have a little bit higher of an impact right away just because that's what JUCO kids do, but it wouldn't put it past either, you know, Wyatt or Anthony to see some immediate action as true freshmen. Look at their frame. They're 6'3", 250-pound range. You know, I was talking to Anthony while he was on his official visit. He saw Wyatt out there running laps around the stadium on a Saturday afternoon all by himself. Just the work ethic that both these two kids, these two high school kids have, is second to none. And, you know, Coach Snyder's going to ask them to run through a brick wall, and they're going to ask him, how many times do you want us to run through it? They're that type of kid, and that's the type of K-State type of style of player that they want to demand there in Manhattan. And I wouldn't be shocked if either one of those two kids saw the field pretty quickly. And obviously, you expect the JUCO kid to do some damage early on, especially since his forte is a pass rusher, and you need those in the Big 12.
Jeremy Crabtree talking with me here about K-State's 2017 recruiting class. One question I had that at least surprised me, we didn't see more pursuit of, at least I haven't, is a junior college linebacker after the Elijah Lee news. Is it simply a matter of supply and demand, not that much out there?
And I think that maybe also they really like what they have from the high school level, too. I mean, it was kind of interesting, you're right, they, as soon as Elijah went declared, they went after a high school linebacker. They went after Danny Walker, a kid out of Illinois inside the Chicago area from Wheaton North. He was the guy they offered almost immediately after Elijah made his announcement. So I think they just didn't feel good about where they stood with some of the junior college kids. There wasn't a ton of prototypical outside linebacker K-State style linebackers in the JUCO ranks. And I know Danny Walker's going to be a guy that people are like, oh gosh, he's only a 3-star guy, but they loved him. I mean, the defensive coaches absolutely loved him on film, and said that he fits that style of a play that they want from the Elijah Lee type linebacker. And you know, I don't think Danny's going to play right away because he might need a redshirt year. But certainly, he fits that mold quite well. And he was the guy they went after right away. I mean, there was no bones about it. Elijah said he's gone. They offered him the next day.
Out of that crop of offensive linemen that they are bringing in, who do you like the most out of that group?
That's kind of a tricky question because they're all different and talented in a lot of different ways. You know, Aiden Mills, the kid out of Newton, is 6'6", 260 pounds, real thin, going to need to add some weight, but he brings just a ton of mobility. And then you have a Josh Rivas kid, the big offensive guard from down in Hutch, who's 6'5", 330 pounds, so he's a space quadrant. I like Harrison Creed. I know he's a little bit underrated by some folks, including us. I think at ESPN, he's 6'5", 310 pounds, but his film just dominates. I know he doesn't play great competition at Ulysses, but he does what you need to see from a big-time player. So I think they're all just interesting. Ben Adler's got a lot of strengths. I think they're all interesting and different in a lot of different ways that you know, the K-State's offensive coaches have to be ecstatic about defining these guys and develop them. And you know, I know they got a kid from Illinois on the offensive line, Bill Kaduik, but they just do so good with in-state offensive linemen. You can't fault them for taking these kids, and the expectation is that they'll probably all end up being pretty good players for K-State.
Talking right now with Jeremy Crabtree on the 2017 K-State recruiting class. This guy actually doesn't fall into that, but I would almost consider him a part of it, and it's Carlos Strickland, who transferred in from Cal and is a former high-profile recruit. Have you heard much about what the expectations might be for him and what is K-State getting in him?
Well, I mean, they're getting an explosive playmaker. I mean, obviously, when he was coming through the prep ranks, he was a highly courted kid, a kid that could have picked any school almost in the country that he wanted to go to. And I know the K-State coaches are absolutely ecstatic about him, and obviously has shown them a lot of positive things during this, redshirt transfer year, whatever you want to call it. And, it'll be a nice weapon to add on that side of the ball. I mean, golly, to be able to add an explosive playmaker, you can't have enough of those when you have to put up points in the Big 12.
Jeremy Crabtree again talking with me. Before I let you go, with signing day a couple days away, anything in the next 48 hours that K-State fans should have their eye on?
Well, I mean, maybe just trying to see how they wrap up here. Just do they go out and offer another safety prospect? I think all that hinges on what happens with the JUCO kid out in California with Elijah Walker. I mean, if he comes on board, then I think they're going to feel really good about where they're at, and go to signing day and already start worrying about 2018.
Well, Jeremy, much appreciate the time as always. You do great work. Pleasure having you, and we'll be talking with you soon.
Okay, thanks.
All right, there is Jeremy Crabtree from ESPN here on Wildcat Insider on the K-State recruiting class. Again, the whole recruiting show will be at 3 o'clock on Wednesday, 3 to 4:30, so tune in for that. Not only will we play back some of Jeremy, you're going to hear from a lot of the prospects and some of their coaches, or the signees and some of their coaches. Plus, in studio, Sean Snyder, K-State Associate Head Coach and Recruiting Coordinator Taylor Bratt. Very much looking forward to that coming up on Wednesday. When we return here on Wildcat Insider, just how beat up are the K-State men right now and how much is that affecting things? We'll get into some of the injuries right now the team's dealing with here on Wildcat Insider.